Mainstream Mental Health Radio
with Dr. John Huber.
What do you think you are, crazy or something? Well, you're not.
We're on a mission from God.
News, issues revolving around mental health.
Dr. John Huber, a mental health professional for over 20 years, the chairman for Mainstream Mental Health, a clinical forensic psychologist, and a psychology professor at Texas State University. Breaking the silence of mental health, one day at a time. Discussing the human condition. Providing a sounding board for mental health issues. And making mental health mainstream.
You got a gift, my friend.
Now it's time for Mainstream Mental Health Radio.
Let the healing begin.
With Dr. John Huber. To Mainstream Mental Health Radio with your host, Dr. John Huber. Check us out on social media. Google Plus, Mainstream Mental Health. Instagram, at Mainstream Mental Health. Twitter, at Mainstream MENTL. And search for Mainstream Mental Health on Facebook. Please tune in every week to Mainstream Mental Health Radio with your host, Dr. John Huber.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Mainstream Mental Health Radio Show. I'm your host, Dr. John Huber, and I'd like to encourage everybody to follow us on mainstreammentalhealth.org and follow our podcast at Mainstream Mental Health Radio. And you can find us on Blog Talk and multiple other formats such as iTunes. Share that with your friends and family, and don't forget to look us up on Mental Health News Radio Network. Well, today we have a returning guest for us, someone who's been on our show before. She was just an awesome guest that time, so we decided to have her come back on and talk to us about a little bit of a different kind of situation. I remember having my own son, my first child, and, you know, not knowing what to expect. And, you know, being a psychologist already, I thought, oh, I knew everything. But as it got closer and closer and closer, things started changing. I was having a hard time with memory and things like that. All the stress was building up. And I thought I knew all about relationships and everything. And after my child was born, I remember one night listening to the baby monitor and waking up at about 11:30 in the evening because I couldn't hear my child breathing. And I panicked. I run down the hall. And in the very dim light, I stood there and started watching him, and I watched his chest go up and down and up and down. So I knew he was breathing. And so I just sat there for a little while and watched him breathe. And I sat, and I just kind of got lost in that. And all of a sudden, my 6 o'clock alarm clock went off, and I'd sat there from about 11:30 at night until 6 o'clock in the morning just watching my son. And it was just that feeling of immense love and attraction to my child. And I can understand totally how some dads, you know, get lost in that and start feeling the depression side of it, you know, what's happening with their lives. Their world has changed. So today we've asked Dr. Carly Schneider to come and talk with us a little bit about postpartum depression in men. And to catch everybody up, Dr. Schneider is an attending physician on staff at the Department of Psychiatry at Beth Israel Medical Center. She also holds teaching appointment at Mount Sinai School of Medicine and is an assistant attending with teaching appointments at the Vail Cornell and Payne Whitney Women's Program. I know I butchered that name. We'll have Dr. Schneider correct that here in a minute. Dr. Schneider is on the Postpartum Support International Board of Directors as the research chair. PSI is the leading national organization providing awareness, prevention, resources, and treatment for mental illness related to childbearing. She also frequently speaks at various audiences, such as the Pregnant New Yorker and at professional conferences and meetings. Dr. Schneider is also a member of Women's Mental Health Consortium. Dr. Schneider, welcome to our show.
Thank you. Thank you. What an intro. Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Good. I'm really happy to have you here. You know, when my producer started talking about this topic, all I could think about was that one moment that I kind of threw out there and how it was just such an elation, you know, and I wasn't even exhausted that day. It was just, I stood there and watched somebody breathe for 7 hours almost. And it was incredible. It was just emotionally uplifting. But I also, because as a clinical psychologist, I get patients who come in and parents, including dads, who come in who are just totally depressed after their child's born. They can't figure out why they're so hard hit by this when it should be such an uplifting time. And I feel for them greatly.
Absolutely. And, you know, the thing is that men's symptoms tend to be eclipsed by women's, right? When you think of postpartum depression, right, the first thing you think about is mom.
Right.
But we know based on research that at least half of men whose partners are depressed are similarly suffering. So,
right.
You know, and there are lots of theories on numbers, but roughly 1 in 4 men will have some mood component, some, you know, anxiety or depression or both following the birth of a child. You know, but the thing is, for a lot of men, I mean, for women, obviously, right, we talked about it last time, there's a lot of stigma. But for men, there's just as much, if not more. And it can be very difficult to ask for help because it's not supposed to be, you know, the conventional dogma is it's not supposed to be about dad, right? Mom just had the baby.
Right.
But in truth, dad can be as, you know, negatively impacted in terms of, you know, depressive symptoms. And there are a lot of reasons why. And it's important that dads are aware of the risk and are aware that they don't need to feel this way and can get treatment and help.
And that's important. You know, this whole thing, you know, we know women go through significant hormonal changes at that point. You know, when they have the baby, during the whole process, after the baby's born. But I think it's amazing that we've actually got research out there that shows that men go through that too. Can you kind of help explain that?
Yeah, you know, so obviously the changes in hormones for a woman are profound, right? You go from hormone levels that are about 100 times their baseline level by the end of pregnancy, and then they tank. You know, they're in the toilet within 3 days. And that accounts for what we call the baby blues, typically, you know, the tearfulness, et cetera. But men, their hormones can change also throughout pregnancy, a woman's pregnancy, and postpartum. So, you know, for some men, there are the testosterone levels go down, estrogen and prolactin go up, and cortisol goes up. And the more cortisol you have, right, that's our stress hormone.
That's right.
Men can gain weight. You know, some men have almost a compensatory sympathetic nausea when their partners are experiencing it, and especially in the first trimester. But, you know, so there is clearly a biologic aspect to this, but it's also important to remember that there is so much social upheaval for both partners with the birth of a baby. One's life takes a complete 180 turn. And there's a huge amount of responsibility that every parent takes on, and it can be overwhelming at times. And, you know, couple that with sleep deprivation, and you've got a perfect storm, all at once, basically. And, you know, a lot of people will say, well, is this a new thing, right? We've never heard about male postpartum depression in the past. And, you know, the likelihood is no. You know, I'm sure men experienced this in the past, but now more than ever, and I think it's wonderful, men are active participants in the parenting process more and more. So when, you know, however many, 75 years ago, 60 years ago, whatever, men were really not getting up with the baby. They were not in the caregiving role in the same way. They were, you know, the provider, et cetera. Now men are stepping up to the plate and being really co-parents, which is phenomenal for everybody, but it also means that they may experience a greater burden of, you know, the anxiety may be there, the responsibility, et cetera, all of that. Make become more profound.
Well, and I think, too, you know, it's kind of a relatively new phenomenon, but biologically, I mean, some of the studies I've seen on animals, you know, pregnant animals, mm-hmm. that the male of the species, they do have a significant drop in testosterone after the baby's born. So I think evolutionary, this has been around forever, essentially. We're just now getting to the point where we're kind of backing up and saying, okay, there's something going on here. We should be paying attention to it, I think.
And from a biological standpoint, it makes sense, right? If you just think about
Definitely.
It, that, you know, testosterone going down, it makes sense to keep a family together. To keep, you know, there are reasons why it makes sense. On the other hand, it definitely doesn't help, you know, in our day and age.
Right. That is true. And I think it's a good thing that men are becoming more active in the development and child rearing directly, especially with the young kids. You know, I mean, if we go look at all the random violence that's been happening, look at all the mass shootings, the school shootings, and there's one common element, and that's an absentee father. And it's very disturbing, you know, to see that, because it proves how important it is for men to take responsibility and be actively involved in rearing their kids. And the biology is telling them to do it. So we add all that plus all the social issues, yet those demands aren't helping this postpartum depression men are having. What do you think we can expect from, you know, our industry, from the mental health side of it, to support those? What do you think is the best way for us to go about doing it?
Well, and I just wanted to throw out there, you know, as you were talking about it, it occurred to me that, you know, children respond very differently to their two parents, right? Dad
Yes.
tends to be the one who comes over and tickles and, you know, there is playful and fun and you know, may playfully roughhouse with a child, right? And mom is the one who's like, whoa, don't, you know, you're going to get hurt, right?
Right.
Mom tends to be the calmer force of two parents in a totally, you know, generalizing way. But
kids,
found in research, kids need both, right? They do. That excitement, and they need the tempering. And when you don't have both, you can really have negative impacts starting in toddlerhood, and because both parents' emotions really can affect children. But as a, you know, as a field, it's incredibly important that we can make it known that men may experience this and allow them to feel comfortable asking for help. But, you know, I think it's important that we appreciate that men are not going to come out and say, I'm feeling this way necessarily, right? They may, and it's great if they do, but it may require more work on the part of the providers to really say to dad, how are you? Because he's not classically the patient, right? He's not the OBGYN patient, and he's not, you know, and the pediatricians who screen typically screen mom. She's often
exactly.
there, and, you know, so I think it's important that we improve understanding, you know, especially in the setting of having a woman who is experiencing a postpartum mood disorder, that the likelihood of her partner similarly suffering is 50%, right? And you need
exactly.
both parents to feel good in the, you know, optimal scenario. So, you know, we need to be better at screening. We need to be better at talking about this and allowing men to come forward. And also educating women, right, that it's a possibility that their partner may feel this way. And it's not about, you know, the man is not doing this because he wants to run away. He's doing it because he's truly experiencing a lot of anxiety or stress or whatever.
Right.
And it's important that we educate women that, you know, men can get help, that this is as much a biologic illness as anything else, and it allows for a collaborative, you know, treatment plan, right? So mom knows
exactly.
if she sees her partner is not doing well, she can say, hey, listen, you know what? I think you need some help too, rather than being like, why are you so irritable? It's not, you know, and getting frustrated.
Exactly. Now, I have a question. We're talking about, you keep using the term partner, because this applies to, for example, lesbian parents and gay parents as well. It's not just the typical heterosexual family situation. Both partners can go through this same experience.
100%. You know, there were studies done a long time ago looking at hormones for adoptive parents, for example, right? And change. And just because you are not the person who is delivering the baby does not mean you are not going to have a biologic response to having a baby. Not to mention, of course, the social aspects, right? It doesn't matter. If you are a parent, you are experiencing a humongous life change, and that can be very destabilizing, right? And
it's very true. And and I talk to so many couples, heterosexual, lesbian, gay, whatever, and they all talk about, it's going to be so easy because we've already got kids. We've got our pets, you know, our dogs and our cats. Mm-hmm. And I'll go, it's not the same. You just don't. Until you have the child there, you don't know. And I respect the fact that their pets are their family and part of their family, but it's just not the same. And part of it goes to this biology that happens to you when you have an infant under your care 24/7. You go through it whether you deliver the child or not.
It's so true. And, you know, it's having a baby, I think, is the most transformative experience in one's life. And it's incredible. It also leads to an understandable, immense amount of anxiety, because now this little person is completely dependent on you and your partner, possibly, and you have to abide by their requests, right? Baby cries, infant cries, you know, they're hungry. It doesn't matter if you're tired. It doesn't matter if you have a big meeting the next day.
That's right.
Their needs come first, and learning to adapt and find your own identity within the role of being a parent is, you know, critical for every parent, but it's never easy. It's unrelated to gender.
Exactly. Well, it's funny. I look at my wife and I's experience, you know, before we had kids, we might be hungry, but not really like want to do it. Sort of like open up a can of corn or split it. And that's good for dinner. You know, now we got kids and it's like, oh no, we got to have two vegetables, a protein, and you got to make sure that, you know, and my kids are teenagers and we're still going through this, you know, it's like, oh no, we can't just give them, you know, ramen noodles. We have to actually fix something to eat for these kids. You know, ramen noodles, that's a snack. That's not a meal, you know? But if they weren't there, we'd be doing that. We'd be having, you know, a slice of bread and some peanut butter and calling it a night. But it's different. The biology, there's this drive that says you can't do this. These are your offspring. You have to take care of them.
Right. And we, you know, we have a sense of we'll be fine, right? Oh,
yes,
if I
yes.
eat ramen noodles tonight, we know, you know, maybe you're going to have a little salt retention and a little water retention. But you're going to be fine. Whereas with our kids, we want the best for them. And we know it's not the best. So, I mean, I think everyone on occasion, you know, resorts to the calling in for pizza or what have you. But we all want to do whatever we can to improve our kids' lives and to better their experience, you know, better than ours, frankly. And
exactly.
There's that's an amazing thing. It also means that we all have an incredible amount of responsibility on our shoulders, which we put on ourselves. And that's a good thing, right? That's what parenthood is about. That's why it's an amazing experience. You get to see all of your work, you know, go into this person who I always find it amazing is that they're, you know, each child is so different despite the fact that you try with each of them to do, you know, the best.
Right.
Each one has their own personality, and they're going to respond differently to everything. And that's wonderful. It's, you know, it's awesome experience and responsibility.
Well, I tell my new parents that I meet that it's the hardest job you'll ever love.
Mm-hmm. That's a great way of saying it.
Because you just, it's just, yeah, because your baby wakes up at 3 o'clock in the morning and doesn't go to sleep until, 5 minutes before you have to walk out the door for that meeting. Too bad. You're going to go to that meeting.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
And you're going
right.
to be tired. You just deal with it. Exactly. Yeah. And now, therapeutically, when I see these people, these parents, male and female, we go about it basically the same way in therapy. But there's some advantages, actually. There are disadvantages because your whole social network has changed overnight. Your friends who used to call you all the time, they just stop because they don't want to, get in the way of you and your baby and that kind of stuff. And then you try to do family-type things, and you invite them, and they feel awkward, so they don't come. But on the other side of that, there's whole other networks of mom's clubs and dad's clubs that you go to, and you take your young infant, and your 6-month-old isn't going to go and play with other 6-month-old, but all of a sudden now you've got an instant network of other dads and moms who are living through the same struggle. And I encourage my new parents to get out there and become parts of those organizations, become leaders, become organizers, because all of a sudden you're now getting that social key back, and you're involving your child, and that child is seeing you as a leader as well, even though they can't quite verbalize what's going on at that point.
I think that's wonderful. I agree. I always recommend people, the internet is it's a wonderful connector. So you can go on and Google your location with, your due date, and there are meetups. And
mm-hmm.
There probably are slightly fewer for dads, but they're there. And if there isn't one, then find one, right?
Make one.
Yeah. For every, it's a great opportunity to socialize and also to appreciate that your experience, while it's unique, is not an isolated one, right? Everybody is exhausted. Everyone's newborn is waking up when they don't want him to. And it's okay, right? And I think unlike, for example, any other experience, you never, you could be tired as anything, but you still love your child, right? They could have kept you up all night, but it doesn't change how you feel about, this experience. And that's something good to talk about, right? Oh my God, my kid's not sleeping. I'm so anxious about this. This is making me nuts. Oh my God, me too. All of a sudden it's a network and you feel, vindicated in your feelings. That's a good thing.
Exactly. It is a very good thing. And now you've got that network that can give you answers to questions that, you're stressed out. When you go in to see your therapist or the pediatrician or your own doctor, you forget 90% of the stuff you wanted to ask them in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So, some of us are so used to being in with doctors and stuff that it we just got this rolling list of questions that we always bring up. But not all of us are versed in that kind of acumen, because it's a learned skill. So if you're not one of those people who sit down and write down lists of questions, you just saw the doctor yesterday and something pops up, write it down. If you don't do that, the next best thing are those other parents who are going through the same
mm-hmm.
thing. They probably ask their doctor. If they haven't, they figure out a trick that works with their kid, and they'll pass it on. And it helps that depression, because, like you said, it's just like me taking my depressed patients from individual therapy to group therapy. All the advantages that they get from interacting and realizing they're not the only ones struggling and going through this mess right then. It's so empowering, and it is for parents as well.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more.
Well, Dr. Schneider, I have a few questions for you. Where can my listeners mm-hmm. find out more about you?
Well, they can go to my website. It's www.carlysnydermd.com, so C-A-R-L-Y. S-N-Y-D-E-R mdmedicaldoctor.com. And you can find all about me and things that I've written. And, you know, I hope it's a wealth of information. My goal has been to make my website as much a resource as possible for people. And anyone is always welcome to email me. There's a contact form on the website.
Awesome. Now, are you available? I know I talked about you doing lots of presentations and conferences and stuff, but if somebody's interested in doing that, that's how they would get a hold of you, just through that contact form?
Definitely the easiest way. Yeah, absolutely. I'm always happy to, you know, connect with people. And I think the greatest way that we're going to reduce stigma and improve treatment is by increasing understanding. So if I can be part of that, you know, it's my pleasure, and I think it's an honor.
Well, that's why we're here at Mainstream Mental Health, is we want to make mental health mainstream and get rid of that stigma so we all can realize it's not a crazy thing, it's a human thing. So.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I appreciate you coming on the air for a second time. I don't doubt that you'll be asked to be on again. You're just such a wealth of information, and every time I look up your bio and everything, I'm like, wow, she actually talks with me.
Thank you. This was great. I'd be happy to come on anytime. I appreciate
the
opportunity.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much. Well, that concludes our show today with Dr. Schneider. And I'd like to remind everybody to follow us at mainstreammentalhealth.org and follow us on Mainstream Mental Health Radio. And remember one thing, life is. I messed that whole ending up. We're going to have to do that all over, Ryan. Anyway, remember, that concludes our show for today. I'm Dr. Huber, and follow us on Mainstream Mental Health. And follow us on Mainstream Mental Health Radio as well. Share this with your friends and family. And remember, life is what happens while you're making plans. So buckle up.
Thanks for listening to Mainstream Mental Health Radio with your host, Dr. John Huber. Check us out on social media, Google+, Mainstream Mental Health, Instagram at Mainstream Mental Health, Twitter at Mainstream MENTL, and search for Mainstream Mental Health on Facebook. Please tune in every week to Mainstream Mental Health Radio with your host, Dr. John Huber.